This is The Evening Buzz, presented by Mikhail Atiyah.
For quite some time now, Overwatch has been the hero shooter in the industry. And despite its declining state at the moment with Overwatch 2 and them basically shuttering down the story missions mode because it's not selling enough and almost losing relevancy, you could say, with just gamers in general, there seems to be one one project that surprisingly got announced by Marvel Games and NetEase, and it's titled as Marvel Rivals. And this game is shaping up to be somewhat of an Overwatch clone. I hate to use that term, but really, when you look at it, you really can, you almost think this is Overwatch, but instead, you got Marvel characters. So this is a 6v6 team-based free-to-play shooter that's gonna head to PC and stars iconic heroes and villains from the Avengers, Guardian of the Galaxy, X-Men, and many more. While there's still no release date that was given, NetEase and Marvel did reveal that Marvel Rivals will have a closed alpha test in May. We're talking alpha, we're not even in beta yet. So I probably won't hear about this, won't see a release until maybe very late of 2024 or early 2025. It also shared that this multiversal adventure will feature an initial roster comprised of Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Groot, Hulk, Iron Man, Loki, Luna Snow, Magic, Magneto, Mantis, Namor, Penny Parker, Rocket Raccoon, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, Storm, Star-Lord, and The Punisher. That's actually pretty good roster here. I was talking with a few other friends who were saying, it feels like we're missing other major superheroes. And I'm like, this is a live service. So you can imagine it's going to come out with a roadmap for future heroes and villains that they're going to unveil. And they did even show a gameplay trailer for Marvel Rivals. And I'll be honest, I'm a little skeptical with what I'm seeing here. First of all, it looks and plays exactly like Overwatch. The UI, everything from the arena, the design of the maps, but the biggest difference is that this is a third-person shooter, not a first-person shooter, which I feel like it's gonna be the biggest difference here when you try to compare. And perhaps the most off-putting, I don't know if this game really works well as a third person, in my opinion. And I'll be honest, some of the gameplay footage that was shown, actually all of it, now that I know that this was developed by a Chinese studio, which is NetEase, and they've done some other big games, such as Marvel Super War, Lord of the Rings Rise to War. Bear in mind, these are mobile games. And so this is the feeling I get when I'm looking at Marvel Rivals. It's almost like a really good-looking mobile game, and it's just being ported to PC, which would kind of concern me because then it comes off as a game that's not thoroughly polished and feels very rough around the edges. And I don't want that to be the case. I feel like with this concept, you got an Overwatch clone with Marvel heroes and villains. Great concept, but already looking from the trailer, it feels like it's a flawed execution. There's something off about it, and I worry that this could really be a detriment to this game's potential launch and just the hype behind it. And yeah, like I said, it looks like a mobile game at best, and that is not a good thing. I feel like if they're gonna come out with this anytime soon, please delay it, give it some time in the oven, really polish it out, give it the AAA treatment that it deserves. This is Marvel is a big, it's a big franchise, and it's got big intellectual properties. Put the time and effort and the development money to make a solid AAA experience from the get-go, because it's gonna pay off over time. And that's just my personal thoughts. I feel like if you're gonna already go down this route, you're gonna make this full-blown Overwatch clone, but with Marvel heroes and villains, please put the AAA treatment from now, because what I'm seeing here is very, very rough. It's got potential, but it's rough. If you've gotten also the chance to see Marvel Rivals and you have personal thoughts about it, do text me at 4215. It's Lotherdo. Would love to hear from you guys. Let's take a short break, and coming up next, we're talking about an actor who reportedly got offered the role as the next James Bond. Okay, we might be getting some progress to the next generation of 007, something that's been on hiatus for a very long time. That and so much more right here on The Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
It's been a very long time since we've gotten any updates when it comes to the next James Bond. Now, Daniel Craig and his era of James Bond movies will be remembered in cinema history. He has left quite the legacy and an expectation that I'm sure all fans of 007 films are going to have, a very high expectation. Daniel Craig is personally my favorite era of James Bond. I'm sure others have lived through previous eras. There was the Brandon Cranston. The previous one before that. But so many eras of James Bond, a legacy that everyone looks at fondly. And it's going to be very tough to pick the next James Bond. And it's been very difficult for the producers of the 007 franchise to really come with a, you could say, a final decision. But bear in mind, this is all hush-hush. We won't really know who they're going to really pick until there's a confident announcement on that matter. So in the meantime, there's been a lot of speculation. People were saying it's got to be Idris Elba or Henry Cavill. There was a few other choices as well, but I know those were the two top picks from people generally. I wanted Henry Cavill to pull it off. He has the potential to really go for, you know, that 007 look. However, according to some reports, recent reports, that Aaron Taylor-Johnson is in talks to become the next James Bond, following Daniel Craig's departure from the iconic role. Now, who in the world is Aaron Taylor-Johnson? Now, I remember seeing this actor in quite a few movies. He's a up-and-coming star, in a way. He's been in some big movies as well. He played as Quicksilver during the Avengers Age of Ultron as Wanda's brother. He was in his own lead role in Kick-Ass 1 and 2. Even in Bullet Train, he played as an antagonistic figure. And even in the upcoming Sony Spider-Man spinoff, The Kraven, Kraven the Hunter, where he's going to be playing a lead role for that. So yeah, he's quite experienced in this industry. And speculation surrounding the next 007 has been ongoing for months. With now Aaron Taylor-Johnson emerging as a potential front runner. This is a this little report suggests that Taylor-Johnson is likely to even sign the contract very soon, indicating that he's poised to step into the shoes of the famous fictional spy. This development follows early reports of Aaron Taylor-Johnson meeting with the Bond producers, which apparently went very well, positioning him alongside other contenders like Cillian Murphy and Henry Cavill. Now, bear in mind, he is 33 years old, and in a way, if you've seen some of his work, or even just find him online, he can really fit the profile of what the Bond producers were reportedly seeking. Somebody in their 30s, an actor willing to commit to the role for a significant period of time, because they're going to make a few of these movies. It's not just one movie, it's an era of movies. With a diverse acting portfolio, like I said, he had roles in movies like Tenet, Avengers Age of Ultron, Kick-Ass, which brings forth a lot of experience and versatility to the table, which, of course, for a role like that, you definitely need it. So, honestly, if he does get it, because here's the thing, when Daniel Craig was chosen as James Bond, all of, like, the media, the tabloids, everybody was just in disagreement. They all couldn't believe that this was the guy that was being picked for, somebody who fell under the radar, nobody knew too much about him, but then he appeared in Casino Royale in 2006. People were blown away and they accepted Daniel Craig. So it's great to have somebody who's not too famous and perhaps not too under the radar as well. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson could do it, and I wish him the best. If he does get the role and he signs the contract, I'll be happy. I mean, I've seen him from the days of, you know, Kick-Ass when he was a much younger person, you know, in his late teenage years, to now in his 30s, potentially getting the role of 007. So yeah, why not root for the underdog story? It's always a great thing, right? But still, I'm sure there are those who wish, they have their wish list, their wishful thinking. What is your perfect actor for the next James Bond? Do let me know. Text me at 4215 at Slaughterdo. Would love to hear from you guys right here on the Evening Buzz. Let's take a short break. Coming up next, we're talking all about CD Projekt Red, upcoming big game. This is The Witcher 4 Polaris, which is looking to go into full production this year. Whew. Exciting. Let's talk about it right here on the Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
Pulse 95.
With the bulk of Cyberpunk 2077 coming to a complete close, CD Projekt Red has shuffled its priorities, putting the bulk of its resources into developing the next mainline The Witcher game, codenamed Polaris. Now, there's a few interesting things about this, is that first of all, after the major success of Witcher 3, and then there was the Netflix adaptation on the Witcher series, the author of The Witcher, because Witcher is based on a book series, he went on a bit of a lawsuit claiming that he was unrightfully compensated for the rights to adapt his books into video games, citing that what he was compensated decades ago doesn't entirely compare to the compensation that normally somebody would get now. And I think he only did that because he realized, oh, his franchise is actually making money. And so he felt like he could strip away the rights from CD Projekt until they actually went on a undisclosed settlement of some kind so that they can continue to adapt future titles in the world of The Witcher. Now, CD Projekt Red has been a studio contrived with underdog success stories, but also controversies all the same. Back in 2020, Cyberpunk 2077 was shaping up to be the most anticipated game of that year. The hype train was crazy. I was one of those people who was vouching this was going to be the game of the generation. And then it had a very disastrous launch. Everything that was promised, everything that they promoted, was misleading at best. And what we got was an unfinished, unpolished, unplayable game. And it took now nearly two plus years to finally have this game actually at a state where we can really sit down and play and enjoy it for what it's worth. At least try to reach the intended vision that the game developers have gone for. And so, keeping that track record in mind, and despite the fact that Cyberpunk 2077 is selling very well, it's making profit for the company, and now this company have said, we're done with Cyberpunk 2077, we're moving on to The Witcher 4 and a future Cyberpunk game. And this was actually during an earnings call that discussed the fiscal year of 2023, and it cited that CD Projekt revealed that it's going to be dedicating a bulk of its effort to developing the next installment in its widely popular fantasy-themed RPG series. Now, when Witcher 3 The Wild Hunt came out, I believe in 2015, it won Game of the Year instantly. It was one of the better games, you could say one of the best games of that year, and still stands very high up there with the legends of video games. And so, in this report, it actually revealed that there is nearly 600 developers at the studio, and 400 of them have now been shifted to work on the Witcher 4 Polaris project, which means, okay, this year we are starting to see a big shift from the company moving on to developing this game. And 400 developers, you can imagine the development cycle that's going to take to work on this. I'd say maybe sometime 3 years from now, we'd probably hear a little bit more about what this game is going to look like, what is it going to play like, and any type of reveal of any kind. But that also means that CD Projekt Red has 200 other developers that are working on, you could say, future other projects, some are completely untitled, some that are in pre-production, but it definitely has to do with Cyberpunk 2077, the sequel. That will probably, if you thought any news about Witcher 4 is going to take forever, wait until the sequel to a Cyberpunk game. That's going to even take longer. And an industry where video game development, the cycle, the period that it takes to develop games now is much, much longer. We're going to have to wait a very long time. But what I hope that CD Projekt Red takes from this is that they learn from their previous mistakes. The biggest mistake is the launch of Cyberpunk 2077. They need to make sure not to repeat that mistake again, because it damaged so much of that goodwill, that trust with their fans, and has, in a way, stained their reputation. There will always be a cloud of doubt when it comes to CD Projekt Red and their future games. No matter how exciting and how cool the marketing and the reveals look like, we still need to make sure to have a little dose of skepticism. But until then, we'll just have to wait and see. And with that, guys, time to wrap it up here on the Evening Buzz. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you guys tomorrow from 8 till 9 p.m., keeping you guys busy and entertained all throughout the week and shift, only here on Pulse 95. This is Mikhail Atiyah signing out. Have a good one.
If you liked this episode of The Evening Buzz, drop a like and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Instagram for all our daily updates and top stories.